And I think they have room for one. I'll join that group. It's an old school kind of singing. Somebody said, Pastor, what school are you, old school or new school? I told them I'm middle school. Don't forget middle school. I'm right there in the middle. I can go old school or new school. Thank you so much, brethren, for reminding us of the precious memories. How they ever flood our souls. Thank God for those precious memories. Bless the Lord today for his goodness and his mercy towards us. Today, we know already is a full day, and we have committed to being finished in a timely manner so that Sabbath school can have their full time. So our intent is to be finished by about 10:15 or so for the first service. So let me just add this to everybody. For our deacons, deaconesses, praise team, musicians, ushers, greeters, we do want to encourage you to be here on time on Sabbath mornings for the first service. We want to start on time. To all of those who are coming in, we praise God that you're here, but we do want to start on time. And say, Pastor, do we have to start on time? Yes, we do. And if Bishop Reverend Dr. William Jones III, the Bishop of the First Apostolic Church, can have a church full on Sunday morning of 1,000 people, parking lot full at 7 o'clock Sunday morning. Can I get a witness, somebody? The Catholic Church can have Mass at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning and church is packed. Come on now. Then we, the remnant Church of God, who have the truth for these last days, can be in church at 9 o'clock. Let the church say amen. So we want to start in a timely manner moving forward. And as you know, if two or three are here, that's what we're going to go with. Can I get a witness, somebody? So we just want to say that we do need to have full cooperation from everyone involved so that the work and the ministry of the Lord can go forward with great success. Thank you in advance for your cooperation and participation. Bless the Lord. Today, we're following a certain theme for these next few weeks, especially as we turn towards the launch of semester number 2 of small groups. And so we want to kind of get our minds in gear for that. This April, and you realize April is just around the corner. You realize that. April is, before you know it, time is just, come on somebody, time is, come on, look at somebody, tell them, you're getting old. Come on, tell them right now, you're getting old. I'm sorry. You may be cute, or you may think you are cute, and you are, but you're getting old. Come on somebody. I'm with you. Come on now. We're moving right along together. It's not that you're getting old and I'm not. I'm fighting against it, but we are all. Can I get a witness now? We all getting there. Bless the name of the Lord. So this morning, I want to kind of follow this same theme as we talk about the subject, divine mathematics. Divine mathematics, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 is our text. If you would turn your Bibles now and stand with me as we read the word of God. Acts chapter 2, and starting with verse 42. What does the Bible say, everybody? And they did what? What did they do? In what, everybody? And what else? Next verse. And fear. And what else? Next verse. And all that believed were together. And what did they do? Come on, let's keep reading. Next verse. Next verse. Thank you. The Lord did what, everybody? What did he do? Added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let us pray. Father God, bless us for these few moments. As we reflect on your word today, may your word be light, meat, inspiration, education, information, and edification to every soul that waits on thee today, in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I must confess to you that I've never been good at math. Do I have any witnesses? That, I mean, math was never my thing. I was never algebra, trigonometry, logarithms, calculus, pre-calculus. I was never that guy. Now, I will tell you that there was a time when I was in elementary school when I did pretty good, because growing up in the islands, you had to pass an exam called a common entrance exam to get to high school. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I passed common entrance and got to high school, climbed in college. But when I got to high school, there was a math teacher named Mr. Redway. First form in high school. And I thought I was okay till I got to Redway's class. And he just wrecked my math interest. He was a horrible teacher. And one teacher can mess up your educational process. Do I have any witnesses out there? Just like one teacher can bless your educational process, one teacher can mess up your educational process. And so I always, Brother Nooks, I always got old math. Old math, I was good at old math. Old math, addition, subtraction, multiplication. Do I have any witnesses? Division. Elementary school, you used to be able to, in chorus, recite 2 1s 2, 2 2s 4, 2 3. Anybody know what I'm talking about? 7-11, 77. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, we used to, as kids in elementary school, you would walk through the yard and hear the entire class reciting their timetables. Come on now. I'd like to suggest to you that I don't know that new math is God's invention. New math is probably man's invention. I think God still operates by old math. Because my Bible says God added. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I just said. Come on, somebody. The text says God added. I believe he adds over and over again. Even when he multiplies, I believe he's adding. Come on now. When he subtracts, he may take away some things and give you some other things. When he subtracts, he's still adding. When he divides, he's still adding. Just ask Israel. When Israel were divided from the Egyptians, it was because God was getting ready to add to their lives. God started off with two, Adam and Eve. So anything more than two is God adding. He told Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. But really, it was all about adding. Somebody say add. When he called Abraham and promised him a seed, God was subtracting him from the land of his ancestry, from his father's home, so he could bring him to a promised land. And from the loins of Abraham would come this mighty nation. Ultimately, divine math is always about adding. So you can come up with a formula. G over L times G minus S divided by C equals S over A. Oh, I like that formula. Pastor, what does it mean? God over love times grace minus sin. Come on. Divided by Calvary equals salvation over addition square. Can I get a witness, somebody? Divine math is always adding, no matter what else it does. And so our text says God added to the church. How often?
daily. Hallelujah. It is the great dam built up by God to ebb the flow of sin. The Lord added, it is the secret key used to unshackle the doomed, downtrodden, and depressed. The Lord added, by subtracting and extracting from the devil's death camp, the Lord added, with the bullet of truth, he fired at the evil and malevolent adversary of our souls, wounding him with the armor-piercing blood-tipped round, knocking him straight to the ground. The Lord added and added and added some more. The Lord added to the church those who were being saved. So the question today is, under what conditions did God add? Under what conditions did God add? We need to open some windows. It's a little warm in here. Too early to be this hot. Come on now. Are we together? Because some folks might be tempted to catch an early morning nap when it gets warm, you know? You know, you just kind of... Anybody know what I'm talking about? So how did God go about doing it? How did he go about doing it? Those who joined the church, the text says, continued to live, work, believe, and function in the apostles' doctrine. Come on, look at somebody, tell them, doctrine. Doctrine. And what? A doctrine it was. They kept on growing in it. They stayed in it. They did not lose sight of it or focus in the apostles' doctrine. Ladies and gentlemen, let me make this very clear. Doctrine is very important. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. This doctrine, the apostles' doctrine, was founded and grounded. Its beginning and its ending was in Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to say amen. Peter on the day of Pentecost preached it this way. Peter said, Jesus of Nazareth, ordained and chosen of God, a miracle worker filled with the power of God. The Old Testament predicted his coming in ministry. David said of him, you have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Although no guile was found in him, although he was full of righteousness and truth, yet men took him, and with cruel hands and under false pretenses, they crucified him and placed him in a borrowed tomb. But bless God, God raised him up on the third day so that his body saw no corruption. And now, this same Jesus is exalted at the right hand of power and glory. And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out on us that which now you see manifested among us. The apostles' doctrine, watch this now. The apostles' doctrine says that Jesus was crucified, but that's not the end of the story. He was raised from the dead to be both Lord and Christ. Amen. When folks heard the preaching of the word, they were, the Bible says, pricked in their hearts and wanted to know, men, what shall we do? Peter, I can imagine Peter declared, I thought you'd never ask. This is where the apostles' doctrine begins to work on human heart. Peter said, repent, be baptized, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Repent. Oh, when the apostles' doctrine comes to you, when you understand Jesus Christ, his love, his salvation, the thing that it drives you to do, it drives you to your knees because you know it was my sin that sent him to the cross. It was my sin that nailed him there. Come on, somebody. With what anguish and loss, Jesus went to the cross and he carried my sins with him there. The apostles' doctrine, hear me today, the apostles' doctrine lifts up Jesus. The apostles' doctrine points men and women to the cross. The apostles' doctrine lifts up Jesus so that he can, like a magnet, draw men and women unto himself. Oh, somebody ought to say amen out there. If the Lord is going to add to the church daily, then We must continue in the apostles' doctrine. Hear me today. It's not about the Sabbath. Jesus did not say, if you preach the Sabbath, you'll draw all men unto me. Can I get a witness? It's not about the health message. Come on. He didn't say, if you're vegetarian, you'll draw all men unto me. Even though most of us are not vegetarians in Church of the Oranges. I've seen more curry chicken. Can I get two witnesses? All the vegetarianism illustrations may not apply here. Because in the Church of the Oranges, they are few and far between. Am I telling the truth? Some of y'all need to really pray about giving up some of the meat you eat, that the Lord might heal your body. Come on now. And I think some of us are so miserable because, meat has an impact on your personality. Oh, let me leave that alone. Let me leave that alone. Jesus says, lift me up, for if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. Come on, somebody. We've got to lift Jesus up. The lion and the lamb, Jesus, the Alpha, the Omega, Jesus, the rose of Sharon, Jesus, the bright and morning star, Jesus, the lily of the valley, Jesus, Son of God, yet Son of Man, Jesus, firstborn from the dead, Jesus, Prince of Peace, Jesus, the giver of every good gift, Jesus, mighty conqueror, fearless leader, blessed Savior, lift him up, his name be lifted higher, lift him up, he's worthy to be praised. Somebody ought to say amen out there. See, in divine mathematics, one equals a billion. One life. Come on, somebody. One life was offered for the sins of the world. Jesus, Savior of the entire world. That's why the 24 elders can't hold their peace. In Revelation chapter 5, they sing out, you're worthy to take the scroll and to loose the seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests unto God. And the angels cried out to the elders, wait a minute, don't y'all praise him by yourself. We want to praise him too. And the Bible says that the angels joined in with the 24 elders crying, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and glory and blessing be unto him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb who reigns forever and ever. Hallelujah. The apostles' doctrine had Christ as center. So whatever else we preach, you didn't hear me. Whatever else is preached, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect. Can I get a witness, somebody? Comes from you. Every good thing that has ever happened in my life is because of Jesus. Come on, somebody. He is my help and he is my health. He's my keeper and he is my strength. He's my victory. Oh, somebody ought to say amen out there. Every time you've ever overcome any sin in your life, it's because of Jesus. It ain't because you're so good. It's not because I'm so smart. It's not because I have willpower. It's because I got power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Somebody ought to give him praise. There's power. Thank you, Jesus. But there's something else about this church that made it a headache to the devil. Something that made it a growing church. Something that created this adding. This adding. They continued. Watch this. First thing we made clear. What is it that made the church such a magnetic element in that Greco-Roman world? They lifted up Jesus, the preaching of the apostles' doctrine. Number one. But number two, the Bible says that they continued in fellowship. Two, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in fellowship. Can I say this? There are too many lonely people in the church today. Oh, Jesus. In the midst of a crowd, but lonely. Because we understand that in many churches, folks want to maintain their anonymity and their independence. They just want to slide in and slide out. Can I get any witnesses out there? I don't want to get into no church stuff. You know how church people are. Just go in, get my praise, and I'm gone. Come on. Some of us have closer relationship with the people on our job. You know, we are at happy hour, getting happy. Hopefully not drinking everything else at happy hour. Can I get two witnesses? This word fellowship. Let's examine, let's exhume that which is applicable from this text. The word fellowship is a powerful word. It is antithetical to the independent mindset of today's society. People today need to understand what fellowship is all about. And I'd suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, the business of fellowship was one of the major ingredients of the early church. God's chemical mixture to help grow the church like a critical element in a chemical batter that creates a fizz, that creates a stir, that creates a buzz. True fellowship was something powerful. And through fellowship, God added to the church. It is really interesting to know the Greek word koinonia. That's the word, koinonia. It means, are you ready? Are you ready? Koinonia means sharing in common. Koinonia means partnership. Koinonia means ownership. Koinonia suggests generosity. Koinonia has, along with it, communication. Koinonia tags the word communion because fellowship suggests the word fellow. You are my fellow believer. Anybody with me out there today? The believers, watch this, the believers shared Jesus in common, but they also shared their worldly goods with each other so that nobody in the fellowship was hungry. If one person was hungry, then everybody was hungry. Are y'all with me, everybody? Y'all not with me yet. Y'all, see, now, one of the challenges in the church today, and this happened to us recently, somebody was sick in this church. Let me come down and talk to you for a minute. Somebody was sick in this church, and nobody visited them for months. So the daughter called and cussed us all out. Anybody here? Are y'all with me? Because she was sick. My mama was sick, and y'all didn't even know. Are y'all with me yet? Now, when you come from a big family and you come in, you're already connected. You're with the Gomes clan. You know, the Gomes, ain't nobody in the family of the Gomes going to be sick and nobody knows because they're a big family. Can I get a witness, somebody? They're not just a family. They're a clan. They're a tribe. Like one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, so you got some families in the church, big families, but then you got some individuals, they are alone. Am I talking to anybody yet? they leave where they were. And I want us to get this. I want you to get this in your spirit. Imagine somebody joins the Adventist church. They leave where they came from, where they grew up all their lives in that church. Come on. Reverend so-and-so blessed them, buried their mama. All their brothers and sisters are in that church. Their friends are in that church. They hear the truth that we preach. They leave their church and join the church of the oranges. And then when they join the church, they find that nobody makes any effort to include them. They feel isolated, left out. So you can imagine why some people may want to go back to the church they came from. Y'all not hearing me. Y'all not hearing me. Because, ladies and gentlemen, in real life, nobody wants to be alone. Everybody wants to be connected. God created Adam. Adam looked around, saw two lions, a lion and a lioness, tiger, tigress. He saw two chimpanzees. And Adam said, "What in the world, Lord? What's going on here? Why is there two and only me?" And God said, "It's not good that man should be alone." So from the dawn of creation, we were created for communion. We were created for fellowship. We were created for relationships. And so in the early church, the apostles were intent on creating a relational environment. Jesus, the Son of the Living God, God in fullness, when he came to the earth, he had 12 disciples. Because he said, "I could do this by myself, but I need somebody to walk with me on this journey. Can I get a witness, somebody?" And of the 12, he had three that were really tight with him. Ladies and gentlemen, fellowship is critical for the outworking of God's plan in the church today. Are you listening to me? See, when there is fellowship and somebody has a financial need, the people close to them understand what's going on. And they say, "I got your back. Don't worry about it. We'll figure out something." And while one person may not have $100, 20 people may have $5 each, and it's still $100. Can I get a witness, somebody? So the folks in the early church looked out for the poor in their midst, took them to their homes. I said, took people to their homes. I said, took people home. They broke bread. I said, they broke bread. They shared their substance. Come on. The Bible says they sold their earthly possession because their belief was in the imminent appearing of the Lord. So they said, essentially, we don't need this stuff. We'll sell it so that we can put it in the church and help to meet the needs. But ladies and gentlemen, I come back to this thing. They took folks home because the text says they went from house to house. Now, let me come back down and talk to you all. Let me talk to the people on the right side, because the people on the left side don't want to hear what I'm about to say. So let me talk to you all over here. In the Church of the Oranges, right side, the text is suggesting that taking people to your home is a critical part of developing real, authentic relationships. No, they're slow over here. Let me see if the left side is ready. Let me see. Left side, are you ready? Are you ready? So let me say, in the understanding in the text is that the believers realize that in order for you to develop real love, real connection, you got to take people to your house. So, don't tell me, "Well, you know, Pastor, I got 3 jobs and I don't have time to cook." Go buy the food. Can I get a witness, somebody? Go buy it. Bring it. Ask the people who are coming to bring bread. Or a salad. Or juice. Am I talking to anybody yet? Am I coming down your street yet? So that we can be together. I'm not even going to ask the single people in this church how many times they've been invited for dinner. Because it would be a shame to see how many single people would raise their hand. I'm not going to put you all on this spot. See, oh God. But you got to understand the imperative of the growing of the early church. They broke bread from house to house. Should never be a time. You know, when we were growing up, listen, I told you the story. When we were growing up, you know, I can't remember a Sabbath when my mother didn't make some extra stuff because we never knew who was going to be at church and who we had to bring home. Come on, somebody. We were going to always bring somebody home. Yeah, I told you, my mother, she wasn't going to heat up the food on Sabbath. It was going to be cold chicken and cold macaroni and cheese and cold rice and peas. Come on. All right? And I told you about my mischievous days when we would flip the pudding upside down and cut off the bottom because the pudding was for Sabbath. So you were not supposed to cut the pudding until Sabbath. Well, Friday when my mom cooked the pudding, we were going to have some Friday come what may. So we'd slide it out of the Dutchie pot. We'd flip it upside down. We'd cut off the bottom piece and put it back down. So that y'all not with me yet. Y'all kind of slow. So that nobody knew that the pudding was cut. And nobody's going to flip it upside down again to find out it was cut. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We're going to have some pudding Friday night. I'm sorry. And then we'd sit down and watch who was going to get the chicken leg. Because you didn't want the chicken foot. Woo! Somebody know what I'm talking about. You know, and you we ate everything. The chicken foot, chicken toes, everything was going. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, everything was gone. But hear what I'm saying to you. What I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, is that it was for sure there was going to be dinner on Sabbath. And somebody was coming to dinner. Let me bring it right down to you. Brother, and the reason I mentioned Brother and Sister Gomes and the Gomes clan is because after I preached a sermon about fellowship, they said, Pastor, you come into our house. Ooh, boy, and I went that Sunday, boy. I had the red, it was a Sunday afternoon. We had the red carpet. I had pilori. Come on now. I had all the goodies. I ate till I rolled down the hill. I was satisfied. But more than that, it was about the fellowship. Now explain to me. I'm coming right at you. I'm coming right in your face. Explain to me, why is it in this church I don't have an assignment or an appointment to dinner every Sabbath? Yeah, and we came Sunday morning, Sister Winnie. We were there. We came, and Sister Cole and Sister Winnie rolled out the red carpet Sunday morning. We had breakfast. Why is it that I don't have an appointment every week? Why is it that I don't have the opportunity to say, well, I can't come this week or I can't come this month, but let's work it out for next month? Oh, I'm coming straight down your street. Don't you look at me cross-eyed because I'm coming. I am looking right back at you. I'm talking to you. Well, the house ain't clean, Pastor. But clean it! Because guess what? Your house is not your house anyway. It belongs to the Lord. Oh, Jesus. God gave it to you. See, it's not really about you inviting me, because if you're not going to invite me, you're not going to invite many other people. You with me? It's not so much you need to invite the pastor. We need to invite each other. Not the same people all the time. We need to look for the new faces, the single people, the widows, the orphans. I'm not talking to anybody here. The people who come to the Church of the Oranges, but they're not in a clique. They're not with the Guyanese crew or the Jamaican crew or the Trinidadian crew, they just walk up in the church and they never get to fellowship. You got the Haitian crew. You got all these crews. But we need to be with the Jesus crew. In the name of Jesus. It's got to be beyond our comfort zone. Can I get a witness, somebody? But watch this. Fellowship is more than partnership with each other. Fellowship is really also about partnership with Christ and with the saints in his suffering and humiliation. Because there must be humiliation before exaltation. Fellowship is really involved with the business of living and dying and inheriting and reigning with Christ. For you to really experience fellowship, yourself has to die, and you have to think more about Christ and his people and his cause than about your comfort. Oh my God. In fellowship, we have ownership of great and precious promises. That certainty is that now, the promise is now, are we, who everybody? We, somebody say we, the sons and daughters of God. Oh, my daddy died in 1986, but I came by to tell somebody, although my earthly father died, I still got a daddy up in heaven. Somebody ought to say amen. And he cares for me. He walks with me. He looks out for me. He is my father. His church is my mother. You are my sisters and my brothers. Fellowship is deeper than just friendship. Fellowship is about family, for we are the family of God. And in scripture, Jesus makes it very clear that your relationship with your spiritual family is more important than your relationship with your earthly, ungodly family. Oh, somebody hear me now. Ha, 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 ha. Fellowship, ladies and gentlemen, is born from the womb of this common confession amongst Christians that for all of us, Jesus Christ is Lord. The fellowship of the Christian family is a divine imperative. We are one in the Spirit. We are one. Oh, somebody talk to me. One in the Lord. We are united as the body of Christ. And as we are generous to our earthly family, so should we be to our heavenly family. As we communicate love and support to our earthly family, so should we to our heavenly family. In the understanding of Paul, once people drink from the communion cup and ate the communion bread, they were joined with each other and with Christ in fellowship at a level deeper than any other earthly relationship. For we drink from the same cup. We eat of that same spiritual bread that unites us as one. Somebody talk to me today. We have partaken of the blood and eaten of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul encourages the believers to shun the table of the idolatrous festivities, because once you practice in the idolatrous festivities, you were joined with it. Come on now. That's why we Christians, we don't go to the club and we're not in the club. Can I get a witness, somebody? Can are y'all not with me today? We're not in the club. Wave your hand in the air like you. Come on, we're not in the club, because once you go there and partake with them, you are joined with them. That's why we are here in the church. But when we come here, I'm one with you. We are joined together right here. Either we're going to be one with the devil in the body of Satanism, or we're going to be one with the Lord in the body of Christ, in the church of the living God. Somebody ought to give him a praise in this place. Hallelujah. So fellowship was a primary and permanent part of the believer's lives. The dinner just didn't taste right when you eat it by when they ate by themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, for many of us, and too many of us, the dinner tastes too good when you're by yourself, which means that our concept has been warped. when you're eating by yourself on Sabbath, it ought to feel strange. Can I get a witness? When you're living by yourself and in isolation, it ought to feel strange. It ought to feel like, where are the rest of them? Because as the body of Christ, we are connected. The fellowship they shared then, ladies and gentlemen, back in that day, in the believer's communion, the fellowship was a holy fellowship, for they were filled with the Holy Ghost. It was a joyful fellowship, for they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. It was a strong fellowship because it was rooted in the rock Christ Jesus. It was a tight fellowship because they were on one accord. No confusion. I said no confusion. No division. I said no division. Satan raised up his ugly head in Ananias and Sapphira, and the Holy Ghost cut them down. Y'all didn't hear me. It was a spiritual fellowship, for they kept on believing together. Every day they received a new outpouring of divine grace. It was an unbroken fellowship. It was just would not stop. It could not stop. It kept on going and going and going. Persecution couldn't break it. Famine couldn't break it. Death couldn't break it, for the believers expected that soon and very soon they would see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This fellowship was a praising fellowship, for the Bible said they had a fresh view of the cross, and every time church opened, they came together to praise God in the temple. This was a praying fellowship, for they continued in prayer. They prayed without ceasing. They did not want the power of failure to keep them from praying. And so every time they got together, they fell on their faces and cried out to God in fellowship. It was a worshiping fellowship. Every time the church door opened, they were there because they wanted more and more and more and more of God. So much so, ladies and gentlemen, that the text says that the church became a magnet that attracted people from all walks of life. What the church had, everybody watching them wanted. I want to be in that church. What's going on in that church? They love each other in that church. What's going on in that church? Miracles are happening in that church. What's going on in that church? Prayers are being answered in that church. What's going on in that church? God's love is flowing in that church. Don't worry. Keep your eyes on me. Y'all stay with me. I said stay with me. Are y'all with me, everybody? What's going on in that church? That's a good church. That's a church that serves. That's a church that cares. That's a church where the Holy Ghost is present. What's going on in that church? God is moving in that church. And when the church was like that, the text says it was like a magnet. God added to the church. People walking by just walked in. Come on now. Because they felt something. Come on now. People walking by were drawn. They saw the love around the church. Am I talking to anybody yet? Ladies and gentlemen, I dare say that in our church, I want to see God adding to this church daily such as should be saved. I was at workers' meeting this week, and I looked down the list of churches. And our church last year baptized the most people in the conference. Now it's good and bad, because we only baptized 32. Come on. But we baptized the most in the conference. So it says that God is doing something here. But touch two people and tell them, I want more, because God wants more. Can I get a witness out there? I want more, because God wants more. And the way God is going to do more is when we do those two things: continue in the apostles' doctrine and continue in fellowship. I want God to add to this church. Can I get a witness, somebody? I want him to take away sin, but I want him to add joy and forgiveness. Take away darkness, Lord, but add light. Take away frustration, but add peace. Take away doubt and add faith. Take away sickness, add health. Take away frustration, add expectation. Take away tears, add laughter. Take away mourning, add dancing. Take away worry. And God, I'm praying that you'll add worship, so that when people walk in this building, there will be a spirit of expectation, a spirit of worship, a spirit of praise to know that God is in the building and God is getting ready to move. God is about to turn things and glory is coming out of this thing. Somebody ought to give him a praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless his holy name. And so, my friends, I don't know about you, but my prayer is, God, add. Add. Come on, somebody. You see the manner. We want God to add. But I want him to add to my life, too. Is there anybody who wants God to add? Stand on your feet right now. Add blessings. Add peace. Add joy. Add grace. Add mercy. Add forgiveness. Lord, add your anointing. Oh God, I want your anointing to fall on my life. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Your word says you added to the church daily. God, add to the church of the oranges, but we're praying that as you add, you'll take away some things. Take away stubbornness. Take away, God, the mindset that is we're set in our ways. Then add your blessings. Fulfill your call in our lives today. I want to give somebody a chance who just wants to pray today. God, I want you to add to my mindset. I want to have the right mindset. I want to have the right mindset. Anybody just want to say, God, pray. God, I'm praying. Give me the right mindset. Take me out of my comfort zone and give me the right mind that I think about others, that I think about our life groups, because really the fellowship was about those small groups, those life groups. That's really what they were. People coming together to love and support each other. If you just want to say, Lord, touch my life and make my life an instrument for your good, just raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. I want to follow God's will. I want my life to be an instrument for good. Put your hands down. Maybe there's somebody who wants to say, Pastor, pray for me because I want to be added to this church. I want to be a part of what God is doing here at the Church of the Oranges. I want God to add to this church and I want him to add to my life. If you want to be added to this church and you want to add your influence for the kingdom of God, you want to be a member of this church, just raise your hand where you are right now. You want God to add to you. You want to be a member here. You want God to add to your life. You want to be added to the Church of the Oranges. You want to be a part of what God is doing. Just raise your hand right now. Raise your hand right now. Raise your hand right now. Where are you, child of God? Bless God. Somebody, this is my last appeal. This is my last appeal. Some of us who have been coming to this church for a long time, but you really have not been as engaged as you should be. But knowing that God is calling you to a deeper place, you want to change your engagement. You want to become more involved in ministry, in service. Specifically, you want to be a part of the life group system and you want to impact others for the kingdom of God. I want you to raise your hand right now. Where are you? Just raise your hand. I'm talking to everybody now. If you want to have more impact for the kingdom of God, you want to be a part of the life group system that lends support to new people, that looks out for strangers and single people and brings them in and nurtures them and encourages them. Raise your hand where you are right now. Raise your hand. Raise it high. Raise it high. Raise it high. Raise it high. In Jesus' name, God, we pray a blessing over every hand that is raised today. And we pray, Lord, as we move the life group system forward, that every hand that is raised will look for an opportunity to serve, to bless, and to minister, and to establish real, true fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everybody say amen and amen. Put your hands together and bless God, everybody. Amen.